All right, hello, this is Scott Price, and you are tuned into Warning Shots here on CKUW 95.9 FM. Right now, I'm joined with David Nowak, who is a freelance journalist based in Berlin. Thanks for joining me today, David.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Scott, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what I wanted to interview you about and what I wanted to talk about is this kind of very interesting development right now is the Messenberg Memorandum. So if you could, just for our listeners, explain what this is.
Yeah, last year, President Medvedev, the Russian president, was in Germany and met with the German chancellor, and they agreed on a short memorandum. It's about one page long only. It's not very much. And they agreed on setting up a joint security committee of Russia and the European Union, which is pretty interesting because it gives Russia more influence, or theoretically more influence, on European Union security issues than officially the United States have. And they also agreed on finding a solution on the Transnistria problem. And Transnistria is a de facto republic in Moldavia and southeastern Europe. And yeah, that shall be the first point where this new security committee will have to work. And yeah, that's kind of a new development, or not new, but kind of a harsh turn in German foreign politics, because in this Transnistria issue now, Germany and Russia are working together, but without the United States, and that's kind of new during the last 20 years in Eastern Europe.
Right. So now, just so I'm clear, this is between more or less just Germany and Russia. It's not as if this is all the EU signing in on this, right? Like, this is more of just like Germany taking the spearhead on this.
Yeah, Germany had the idea and signed this memorandum with Russia, but Germany said that it will be with the European Union, and they also proposed that Catherine Ashton, the foreign policy, not minister, but the foreign policy person of the European Union, that she will be in this new committee. But so far, this committee hasn't been established. It was only the idea to establish this committee, and because it seems like that there is still some resistance in Eastern Europe, like the Balticum and Poland, they still have problems with such a cooperation with Russia. So Germany had the idea, they agreed with Russia, but Germany hasn't found a consensus within Europe so far.
So just also for the listeners, explain, you know, the situation in I believe it's in Moldova with these de facto kind of republics trying to get independence. Explain that situation and how it ties into this memorandum, because you kind of touched on it.
Yeah, in Moldova split off the Soviet Union, like Ukraine and Belarus and other states did too 20 years ago. But there was a small part of Moldova, this Transnistria Republic, where the majority is Russian-speaking. And they said they want to remain within the Soviet Union, but because the Soviet Union dissolved, they wanted to remain in the Russian Federation, or get into the Russian Federation. And there was a short civil war, and with the Romanian-speaking Moldova majority population, and this was settled. And the last 20 years now, there was a forum between, including the United States and the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, and they were discussing how to get this problem solved, not like in the Georgia it was solved on some kind of way, they were discussing, but it hasn't been solved so far because Transnistria claims that they are an independent republic, and Russia somehow accepts that. They haven't recognized Transnistria, but they don't I would say they like it that they can have that they can remain troops there close to the European Union, close to Romania, which is also a NATO country, and it's somehow that the big powers like the Western countries and Russia, they have this conflict with their with their allies there. So it wasn't an conflict like this in the beginning, but now Moldova is striving into the European Union and also into NATO, and Transnistria is striving into Russia. So also these powers have to get to a consent in order to solve this problem. And that's why Germany took this issue, and I hope that it can be resolved. And the special thing is that the United States are not within the coordination committee so far, or not anymore. But this shall be the first point where this new European Union Russia Security Committee will be exercising, and if they prove that they can work together, then this will be the starting point. Like next time, talk about Georgia, or I don't know, and maybe the security shield issue or something like that. But they somehow took this as a starting point, and in order to look how good they can work together.
Now, my understanding too was that it seemed that there would be more compromise on Germany and sort of, I guess, more towards the Russian side of this conflict. Is that correct? Like to try to say, okay, well, maybe this other state can go into the Russian Federation or be closer to you in terms of like being a satellite. Is that correct? That's how I read it, you know?
Yeah, there was this somehow turning of the German standing to this conflict, because so far Germany's position, like all the other Western countries, was that Russia has to pull off troops from there. They also agreed on this about 15 years ago or something like that, but Russia never did this. And in a new intern paper Germany somehow, well, unaccidentally leaked, it came out that Germany doesn't focus on the Russian presence anymore, and that they somehow adapted the Russian position nearly to 100%. And this was criticized by a Romanian-born journalist called Vladimir Sokor, who's writing for Jamestown Foundation, so, and living in Munich. He's close to U.S. foreign policy, and he thought this dramatical turn about 180 degrees, that Germany now said, well, we don't focus on the Russian troops anymore, we just want this conflict to be solved. And that's kind of new, too.
Right. Now, like you said, this is sort of a real shift in how policy with Russia is sort of done. What would you account for this shift? Why would they suddenly do this?
Well, it's some kind of way of getting closer to Russia, because Germany is an exporting country. In all other Europe, you have the debt crisis, you have low wages, like in the U.S. too, and Germany wants to export still more, and Germany needs the Russian resources, oil, gas, also other very rare resources, but somehow Germany is driving closer to Russia, like in the history Germany also already did, and this is just the first point for this new cooperation. Between these two powers and getting closer in Eurasia.
Potentially too. Is this more or less even a shift in a start of a shift in almost geopolitical power? Because it seems that, I mean, like you kind of pointing out, this is more of a German initiative, and Germany's, as you kind of pointed out, kind of looking at the rest of the EU and kind of going, well, you know, what are we really going to get out of this? Whereas a more closer partnership with Russia would be far more beneficial, right, to Germany. So is this almost start of a kind of a new balance of power within the globe?
I think so, yes. We could see also in the Libya conflict, like France and London, or Great Britain with their pro-American governments, they were working together, but Germany was neutral in this conflict because Russia and also China and other powers had their special interests, and Germany too. And the shift has already taken place, not formal so far. It's just a shift in opinions and military operations so far. But for Germany, the Eastern binding or the cooperation with Russia would be the alternative to the Western binding, to the cooperation with the Atlantic powers. And it's gradually shifting already the last decade and the last years more and more.
Now, I've also reading, too, that there's even negotiations of pipelines are sort of starting to change, too, where before it seemed like they were trying to circumvent Russia, whereas now they're more willing to deal with Russia in terms of getting natural resources out as well, right?
Yeah, there's this Nord Stream pipeline. It has been opened some weeks ago. And the problem for Germany was that between Germany and Russia, there's still Poland and also Ukraine. And there were always these so-called gas wars because countries like Ukraine didn't want to pay all the gas which is flowing through their pipelines, and that's why Germany and Russia established North Stream or North Transgas. It's a gas pipeline through the Baltic Sea, and it's getting through the sea. So it's starting in Russia, then the Baltic Sea, and then ending in Germany. And Russia somehow did this because Germany is their platform in energy diplomacy in Middle Europe. And Germany is becoming less dependent on countries like Poland, Belarus, and Ukraine, which, especially Poland and Ukraine, in the last decade were pretty close to United States' interest. And now Germany has found this alternative. There's also South Stream, which is not about Germany, but about Italy and Bulgaria. And Russia is building this pipeline too, but it hasn't been started yet. But a Nord Stream is working, and it's getting closer. Eurasia, or Germany and Russia, but it's somehow making a split within the European Union, because Poland doesn't want to be dependent on Russian oil, because they see this threat that Russia could force them to political concessions, which they don't want. But Germany is pretty realistic about this issue. There has been this Druzhba, this friendship pipeline on the continent since almost 40 years now. And Russia, Russia never threatened to cut off this support. And even though when the Soviet Union was breaking up, there was still the flow through these pipelines, but Poland is pretty anxious about this, and that's why Poland is now investing in nuclear issues, and something Germany has already overcome, because it's not pretty secure, and as we can see in Fukushima, it's pretty devastating. And but because we are shutting our nuclear plants down, we need now more other energy resources, and this is first of all gas and oil from Russia, and we're getting these directly and not through United States allies in Eastern Europe.
That is fascinating, but also I wonder how would this also affect in terms of the Middle East and getting oil from there. What kind of effect could it have on the situation in the Middle East, or even in Central Asia too? This kind of joining together of Germany and Russia.
Yes, so far, Germany or also other parts of Western Europe were counting on this Nabucco pipeline, which is directly from Central Asia through Turkey, and also the Middle East, especially Iraq, going to Middle Europe. But it's not edging the Russian territory or sphere of influence. But this pipeline has the problem that, like, for example, in Turkmenistan, which is also a Central Asian country, they already sold nearly all of their gas and oil to Russia and Russian corporations. So this Nabucco pipeline hasn't any resources to which can flow through their pipes. And the oil question with Saudi Arabia, that's a very interesting question. I don't know how this will affect European-Arab relations. I don't know, really.
Well, thank you so much, David, for coming on and talking about this issue.
Yeah,